been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. It is the Thursday edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And I don't think the market liked the PPI report this morning. That's my guess. And the Dow is down 121 right now to 38,922. The NASDAQ is down 52 to 16,125. The S&P is down 18 to 5,147. You know, small caps usually don't do well when there's fear of that inflation out there, and that's a pretty good indicator. It's down 1.1%. I think that's more evidence that the PPI was a little bit worrisome. And Russell 2000 down 24 points. Crude oil continues to push its way higher, and that's part of the PPI problem. That's a big input cost. Crude oil is up 94 cents to 80.66 as Ukraine is bombing Russian oil refineries, their largest one, and we had a big drawdown in oil here in America. Gold's down $13, and here's another big, big indicator that the market not happy with the PPI. This is the biggest one of all. The 10-year is up 8 basis points. And it's clear back to 4.27%. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now PPI edition of the Best Stocks Now show on this Thursday. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst.
Remember the days where these reports didn't quite mean as much?
No.
Right?
Now it's down to 1/10 of 1% and the market blows up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's not blowing up. And, you know, in fact, it's kind of hard for me to adjust you kind of have a new paradigm. When the market goes down 117 points these days, the Dow, that's only 30 basis points. Because now we're, dividing into almost 39,000, okay? So the 100-point drop of today is not the 100-point
right.
drop of yesteryear. We've come a long ways here in the market, and that impacts the percentages. Well, anyways, we've got a down day today, and I'm going to blame a couple of things. Number one, I'm going to blame the PPI. And what was it? Was there anything in there specifically that caused the...
Yeah, I think it was, really the top line number came in at 0.6% for the month versus a 0.3 estimate. And then, of course, in January you had 0.3, December you had 0.1. So certainly higher than the previous 2 months pretty significantly. But the main thing is actually it was energy demand component.
Go.
So 70% of the... And it's funny that you mentioned it as you were going through crude oil.
Yeah, it's crude oil.
But yeah, 70% of the final demand increase was really attributable to energy. The core number actually came in at 0.3% versus a 0.2. So that shows you kind of the difference. That is a tenth, right, in terms of the core piece, even though the top line number came in twice as hot as expected. But
yeah,
it's really due to energy. So.
Yeah, it comes in hot in February. The PPI, Producer Price Index, after the CPI came in pretty much in line. And the market was up, but then I think the PPI kind of has sent it underwater for now. Retail
interesting
sales.
That energy, it was interesting, though, that energy was also, right, the big component in the CPI that that really drove that thing.
Well, and you've got some factors in the energy market right now. You've got the Houthi rebels still active in the Gulf. Red Sea. You've got Ukraine now going after they've attacked.
One of the largest refineries right in Russia.
Yes, and he's threatening nuclear weapons, which that's kind of his. He falls back on that. Let's just hope, he cries wolf all the time. Let's just hope he doesn't follow through on that at some point in time. And we had a big drawdown here in the U.S. On our oil stocks. So that, and I'm seeing the good action in the oil stocks. Of all the sectors and charts I looked at yesterday, there were two charts that stood out to me. Maybe I'll get to those today. They were not oil stocks. But the oil, overall, the oil sector had a pretty good day yesterday. Now, the retail sales did not rebound. They rebounded less than expected in February. So I don't know if there should be any worry there. But,
pretty significant mix. That was the interesting part in terms of, some of the PPI data in terms of companies were increasing, their inventories, right? And they're, but things haven't been bought, right?
Yeah.
So that's the
shelves are getting more full of good selection out there right now, but there weren't enough consumers to take on that selection. Also, jobless claims fall a little bit, 209,000. So that's still. That's still inflationary.
And I think it was expected. It was around 218, so came in. Jobless claims were less than expected, which is going to, is going to be more on the inflationary potential side, which is another reason for the 10-year today.
Yeah. Okay. Now here's your trivia question here for the day, or your. What is the worst performing stock in the, there's 500 stocks here up for grabs to choose from. What is the worst performing S&P 500 stock year to date? And I'll give you a hint, it's not NVIDIA.
Tesla or some of the energy. Oh, is it? Yeah, I figured it had to do with, some of the, of course, electric vehicles, right?
That's hard to believe. Tesla is down 31.2% on a year-to-date basis, and it's now down 57% from its all-time trading high, which was set back in November of 2021. I think there's a lot of skepticism around the whole sector. You've had somebody put out it was Wells Fargo. They put out a sell. On Tesla,
I heard and read some of his. I can't give the analyst name at the moment. It's not on the tip of my tongue, but it was Wells Fargo analyst. Yeah, and he's talking about basically. I think the title of the article was growth company with no growth.
Exactly.
Right? And he looks at he's looking out at 2024, 2025, essentially no growth in sales, even a sales decline potentially in 2025, and then I guess. After that, they're supposed to have a new, vehicle. But of course, you got to hit those timing targets in terms of actually rolling them out.
I still haven't seen a Cybertruck. I look for them, but I haven't seen a Cybertruck. I've seen a few Rivians lately. I just think there's a total reset on this whole EV process. Wanting to convert it. There's definitely a reset, and you got Fisker filing for bankruptcy. Today, that's the second time around at the bankruptcy court for Fisker. In the meantime, we've got artificial intelligence Woodstock happening. That's what they're calling it. By the time we get to Woodstock, we were 500,000 strong. Everywhere was a song and a celebration, right? Well, that's going to be March. It's next week, right? March 17th, I think. I got the date here somewhere. I'm looking for it. But it's really driving a lot of March 18th, 4 days. It's driving a lot of interest in upgrades, downgrades. NVIDIA and Supermicro, those two are in focus as B of A, the former Merrill Lynch, boosts price target ahead of AI Woodstock. So we've got analysts reiterating their buy rating, and they bumped their target price to $1,100. That's NVIDIA. Super Microcomputer, they're raising their target price to $1,280. Now, those are short-term target prices. I do longer-term target prices. I discussed this at the workshop I did on Monday for our investment club out there in Sun City, Arizona. Been there a couple times, done three or four workshops for them. I just talked about the difference between a long-term and the beauty of doing a long-term price target based on five-year growth rate versus the short-term price targets. All right, when we come back, there's TikTok, the clock is ticking, and it's ticking down to some kind of consummation here. A lot of offers on the table right now. That and more when we come back. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, here's your second question of the day, Barry. Tesla, the worst performing stock in the S&P 500 this year. How many U.S. social media companies does Beijing allow in China?
I think that's zero.
Again. Zero. And yet they're not happy. Okay. TikTok. Yesterday, the bill was passed by the House. It still has to get through the Senate, but I don't know. I mean, just looking at the vote of the House, it was pretty overwhelming to make them divest ByteDance, which is a Chinese-owned company, divest TikTok, which would leave TikTok up for grabs, I guess, as to who would own it. Well, Mnuchin, the guy that needs a vowel. Hey, you know, can't you buy a vowel there at Wheel of Fortune?
Yeah.
Mnuchin says putting together a group to buy TikTok as political tensions rise. I have to admit, I've never been on TikTok, but I've seen these TikTok influencers, and I've heard many people talking about TikTok and the kind of material that is on there and the influence it has over our youth. I'm not a fan, just from what I've heard.
Yeah, I've seen videos of the videos on TikTok. Not on our devices at the house, but yeah, the question is, when you're divesting it, right? Okay, a lot of it's in, you're talking about, of course, where the data is housed, how they can, simply affect the algorithm, right? Or that affects what people see. If somebody else owns it, somebody's probably still going to be the algorithm creator. Of course, it may be completely different. Use, but someone, regardless, right? It's still influencing, right? The the person who's using it, right? They call them users for a reason, right?
Yeah. Well, Rumble has come forward and said we'll buy it. Of course, that's a publicly traded company that competes with what's the video one that they compete with at Google owns?
YouTube,
right? Rumble has expressed interest, and now you got Mnuchin, and then the political, and President Biden is, he says if they pass the bill on TikTok, the ban, he will sign it. And, of course, Trump weighed in earlier, I think last week, said that he fears banning TikTok would empower Meta. Well, that's the other question. Is Facebook any better than TikTok.
Well, that's kind of my point. Like, who's ever hands that are in, right, are still, you know, there's still an algorithm and ways to influence a population, whether it's done via, you know, Chinese doing it or done right here in America.
You know? And, you know, in response, the Chinese government says that we are bullying them. Though the U.S. has never found, here's what they say, that the U.S. has never found any evidence of TikTok. Oh, I don't know about that. Posing a threat to the U.S. national security, it has never stopped going after TikTok.
I mean, it's interesting. I think they were making their, I think they made their, some of their statements on, you know, Twitter or X or whatever, right, you know, here. But of course, like you said, they don't, there is no Twitter or X or any other social, U.S. social media in China.
Well, and, you know, I mean, the fear is, and these are two stocks that are struggling mightily, and I would have to say it's a lot because of China's weak economy. Apple chart still looks horrible. They do sell a lot of iPhones in China. So China can turn around and retaliate against them. And, of course, Tesla, which has a gigafactory in Shanghai. So those two stocks still not out of the woods. Because they could be part of China's retaliation over this whole TikTok thing. And speaking of beleaguered companies, the three worst charts I saw yesterday. Apple continues to be a horrible chart. Tesla continues to be a horrible chart. And Boeing continues to be a horrible chart. You have another one. A Boeing flight makes an emergency landing in Los Angeles in the latest incident, due to a suspected mechanical issue. The problem remains unclear, but they said it was in the hydraulic system of the plane. So another, you know, all of these, you'd probably never hear about these.
Well, that's it. That's
in the past.
Yeah, that's the headline risk, right? It's like I said, if you know, if you're a, think of it, if you're, you know, a reporter, right, or whatever, you need a story, right? It's like, what should we write about? Nah, just do the Boeing thing again, you know.
Yeah,
just off the Boeing story, right? And you know, it has a fresh narrative, you know, pretty much all the time. Because you got to think, I mean, these are complex machines, and you're flying, you know, there's a lot of flights.
There's probably incidents every day. We don't hear about any of the Airbus incidents, just Boeing,
right?
Because they're looking for Boeing news now. On another matter here, which U.S. Steel sinks, as Biden says they should remain a domestically owned and operated company, they had a deal to be bought out by Nippon Steel of Japan, and so that one is dead. And you've got Cleveland-Cliffs stepping forward saying that they may reconsider rebidding for U.S. Steel in the $30 area. So there's another kind of a drama taking place. And then the biotech, U.S. biotech group, is backing an anti-China bill and parting ways with one of their big biotechs in China. And you know what? I mean, we've been giving some of these Chinese biotech companies federal funds, we got that whole deal with, you know, the lab over there in Wuhan and the CDC and everything. So anyways, there is definitely a Cold War taking place between us and China. Okay, and the last one here, I'll tell you, well, the two best charts I saw yesterday in the market were Super Microcomputer, SMCI, just an outstanding chart. And also restaurant brands, QSR, and there's some rumblings there at restaurant brands, which is now being heavily influenced by the guy who turned around Domino's Pizza, Patrick Doyle. And another one earlier in the week, one of the best charts I saw was Hilton. HLT, they're going to acquire a hotel operator focused on college towns for $210 million. So there's three very, very strong stocks right now in the market. And we're seeing more, mergers and acquisition action than we've seen in a while here. All right. We'll come back. We've got some. Well, I want to talk about this Burger King restaurant brands and new leadership in another big company trying to turn it around. Should we take note? We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, buy the dip still seems to be in play here. We had a dip in the market here, and now we've come back somewhat. The NASDAQ has now gone positive by 21 points. That's quite a big turnaround there. It's now up 21. The Dow is down 36, just 36. S&P down 6. The Russell 2000 is still getting hit, though, on those higher interest rates today. The small caps are down 1.5%, and the 10-year, you know, got down to 4.08, and it looked like we maybe were going to challenge 4%. Now we're back to 4.27, so we're back up 19 basis points off of that low.
And we've had some treasury issuance as well. So you got, you know, obviously we talked about the effects of some inflationary reports. Leading to the move in the 10-year, but also the as we know, the U.S. has a pretty hefty debt, and we've been selling some notes issuance as of late.
Yeah, well, okay, so management changes here that fairly significant. One of them's in a stock we own. We don't own Under Armour, but it's interesting to see that the original founder Kevin Plank's going to come back and take over the helm. The market's not too happy, though. The stock's down 10.4%. And, you know, this stock has just been hammered. They tried to take on Nike, really, I guess, was their main target. And now it's a small cap stock at $2.8 billion. They made some huge commitments over the years. Stephon Curry, for one, paying him a ton of money to wear their shoes. Now the stock is $6.96 and down 10.5% today. Burger King owner Restaurant Brands is doing some changes in their leadership team. So I would just say that, you know, this turnaround effort goes on. And let's not forget, I mean, it's Burger King, it's Popeyes, it's Firehouse Subs.
Tim Hortons.
And it's Tim Hortons. So anyways, you've got some changes at the top. The main change comes at Popeyes. My advice to Popeyes, okay, I'm just a guy that watches, drives down the street and looks around me and notices my neighborhood. Whatever Chick-fil-A is doing, Popeyes, I would kind of model myself after Chick-fil-A.
Do the same thing with bone-in chicken, right?
I'd get rid of the bones, right? People don't want bones anymore. So anyways, that's what I would do. And there's where the big change is that Popeyes, they got rid of
I think somebody moved up, and then so somebody had to come in their place. I think that's it's almost like a part of it's a reshuffle, I guess. And
reshuffle, but I think, you know, they're going after that Popeyes brand, which there's a lot of potential there. People,
yeah.
Obviously, there's a line every day at two places here in our neighborhood. One is Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
And the other one is the other chicken fingers place.
Yeah, Cane's. Cane's. Raising Cane's. Yeah.
All right, Popeyes. I mean, you don't have to look too far for a model that works. Okay, here's a model that doesn't work. This stock is down 50% today. Barry, I can afford it now. It's 16 cents a share. It's traded 115 million shares. It looks like it's bye-bye Fisker. And Henrik Fisker has gone to the well twice and gotten investors to back him with big-time money. Fisker was a $31 stock in 2021, which was a watershed year. That was the height, the top of this innovation, long-duration investing. And it's come crumbling down from $31 a share down to 16 cents. Fisker in free fall as company plans bankruptcy filing. Not only are they losing money, but the cars that they have out there on the road, the Ocean SUV, is having lots of mechanical problems. And it's just not good. Fisker shares have lost 90%, 5% of their value. The bankruptcy comes as little surprise to Wall Street, which has been bailing out of the stock since October.
It'd be interesting to see, you know, what happens to the cars. I mean, you know, it's one thing if you
eBay,
you know, well, yeah, but I mean, in terms of, you know, a lot of those cars will, you know, like a Tesla, for example, they get software updates, right? That's kind of their version of, you know, of a tune-up. You know, who? It's just, you know, what is the what kind of money are they going to have on the back end to, you know, for someone who bought the car to, you know, at least even maintain it? You know what I mean?
That's a, I think the owners are out there on their own. Remember when we used to see some DeLoreans, besides Back to the Future, we saw DeLoreans running around. They were made
from
stainless steel.
You could still drive it and change the, change the oil. I mean, you know, these things, I mean, there's, you know, continuous software update. It'd be like if you had a, you know, a computer or something, right? And then, you know, the company goes away. Well, and, you know, no more updates for you. It's just, it kind of puts the consumer in a you know, pretty bad spot.
I don't think it's very good news for Rivian, which is down 6.2 and threatening to break down below $10. And then you got Lucid, which is down today 4.8%. Lucid's now down to $2.67. It was at 64. And then you've got the worst performing stock in the S&P 500 this year in Tesla. I think I'll run out and get an EV. You know, when we were in Bloomington Hills, you don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows, said Bob Dylan, right? We heard the way the weather the wind blows when we were there. Nobody wanted anything to do with an EV car. Now, okay, I hate to bash green energy. I'm just an observer. I just look at these news items and I see trends developing. U.S. solar firms, this is according to First Solar, which is the biggest solar company here in the U.S. He says U.S. solar firms are in a dire situation as imports soar. So, you know, look, we're going to ban TikTok from the U.S. What about all of these solar panels that come from China and undercut our domestic solar industry? CEO Mark Widmer saying it's a dire situation. He warned the Senate committee that the U.S. risks becoming a de facto extension of China's Belt and Road Initiative. A flood of Chinese-produced solar panels is driving prices to record lows. Well, I would
say this has happened before. I mean, this you can go back to the, you know, mid-2010s. I mean, it's happened to the solar industry before. It's not a new, you know, it's not a new new play in the playbook for the Chinese. So I don't really get why they. From a protectionism standpoint, why they allow it to happen a second time?
Well,
it's already
destroyed
the solar industry once.
You could argue that the Chinese EV cars, well, they're crushing Tesla in China. Will we bring in the Chinese EV cars like Li and Boyd and the others? So anyways, in the meantime, the U.S. government's going to give $2 billion to Lithium America in Nevada. They're mining lithium, and the lithium stocks are crashing. Okay, MicroStrategy is going to offer $500 million of convertible senior notes due 2031. Now, here's your third question, Barry. What do you think that MicroStrategy's Michael Saylor, CEO, is going to do with that $500 million that he raises in convertible senior notes?
He's probably going to build more factories.
Buy more Bitcoin, right?
MicroStrategy. You had me thinking super microcomputer.
Yeah, no, this is our friend Michael Saylor.
Of course he's going to buy more Bitcoin.
So basically, I mean, you could go around all of this and just buy Bitcoin or buy his convertible senior notes. Okay, a few earnings, Dollar General.
Which essentially he's leveraged, you know, that'd be known as leveraging Bitcoin.
Absolutely. Well, Dollar Tree was down yesterday, and they announced they're going to close a lot of stores. And today it's Dollar General, which had a good report, but they're down 4.5%. I think it just became too crowded when every little town in America's got a Dollar General. And then maybe a Dollar Tree, too, in the same neighborhood. Dick's Sporting Goods? Well, I hand it to them. I mean, they're a survivor. They are the sporting goods store that's left. And that stock is up 11.6% today. So people still buying running shoes and golf clubs and fishing equipment and all this kind of stuff.
Can't tell you how many times you were in there during Christmas. But.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, we'll take a look underneath the hood of the market. The NASDAQ's coming back. What's driving it? We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the NASDAQ has now gone positive, so let's see what's doing it. You know, as I look underneath the surface, there's nothing really that's popping out here. Microsoft is the biggest winner in the NASDAQ right now. And I will say this about Microsoft. We own it in our premier growth portfolio and in our dividend and growth portfolio. So, I mean, it's there as one of the ones that we have chosen. We've owned it for quite some time. We own 17, 18 stocks in each of those portfolios. So to be one of those, we've done a lot of sifting to get. Microsoft is breaking out today. And Microsoft, look at that. That's a new all-time high today.
And that's driving that's what's driving the NASDAQ.
I think
up.
So.
Whenever you said it went positive, I was looking at the some of the contributors, and that was the contributor.
It could be AI Woodstock, which is coming next week, that is driving Microsoft. Microsoft is hitting $425.50. That's a new all-time high. It's up $10 a share today, up 2.5%. So Microsoft has been very good to us. Checkpoint Software is also breaking out today. I need to do a new I need to check the valuation on that. It's kind of been a slow grower, but that's a Israeli provider of internet security hardware services so it's kind of a cybersecurity stock.
Yeah, I think Zscaler was buying an Israeli security company. I can't remember which one. I saw a little note about it this morning, but so they either it's them that's getting bought or they're going up in sympathy, right, with Zscaler making a purchase. So.
Okay, Google is bouncing a little bit here. Google has come down hard here recently. It went through about a 10% correction. It's up 1.7% today. They've had a lot of missteps recently at Google. And then Apple is bouncing a little bit. It's up 1.4% today. At least that chart is starting to go sideways. Okay, it's in a number one, beginning of a number one sideways trend after coming down 27 points. That's about a 13.5% correction so far this year. And then the other one that is threatening to break out here to the upside is Amazon. And it is poking its head above, let's see, 170. No, its all-time high is 188, but that's a new 52-week high on Amazon. So
in both those names, it's interesting because they're part of the picks and shovels approach to AI as well. They've got the data centers, and you've right. got to have the data centers to run the models. So both of those are big players in that space. Not to mention what AI can do for the other parts of their business.
Now on the downside in the Nasdaq. The Chinese stocks, JD.com and Baidu, are the biggest losers as they're kind of caught up in a trade war, I suppose you could call it. And then NVIDIA is down 2.9% today. Okay, now if we look at the S&P 500, I'm not seeing any big winners here today in the market at all. The big losers, United, is Under Armour. Even though Kevin Plank is coming back to take over the reins, that stock is down 11.2% right now. Dollar General is following in the footsteps of Dollar Tree yesterday. It's down 5% today.
Wonderful. That has to do with that weak retail sales number that came in.
Yeah, I don't know. It's got to have something to do with all of this big shakeup there at the company.
When you had Dollar Tree was getting rid of, I forget how many stores they were down.
I thought I saw 1,000.
I thought it was 1,000 too. Yeah,
that's a big number. Lot.
Right.
And I see our Outback is gone here in Mount Pleasant. Outback Steakhouse, they closed a bunch of stores recently. Let's see, D.R. Horton down 3%. Of course, they don't do well when interest rates go up. The building stocks. On the upside in the S&P 500 today, the oil stocks are having an okay day. Macy's is up 3.4. There's still that speculation of them getting bought out. Halliburton's up 1.8. And then over at the Dow, the biggest winner.
Interesting, Bill. Look at the chart of oil, the price of oil, and then look at the chart of natural gas moving in two opposite directions.
Natural gas has just been hammered.
Well, and since Biden put the a moratorium right on some of the liquefied natural gas exports.
Oh yeah, exports.
Right.
So. They have nobody to sell their natural gas to.
Right.
To liquefy.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's it for today. I start working on the newsletter. We're in between earnings season. The next earnings season will start in about 3.5 to 4 weeks. We've got artificial intelligence Woodstock next week. I don't know. I mean, I hear rumblings that there's going to be a big announcement from NVIDIA. I have no idea. But NVIDIA's been selling off. There's been some profit taking here. NVIDIA finally cracked a little bit last Friday. And so the people with big gains in NVIDIA right now are being tested. Their metal is being tested. Are you willing to hold on to this thing here? It could go through a 15% correction very, very easily. But at the same time, you've got Woodstock coming, and you've got still a five-year target price that is considerably higher than where this stock is now. But it's definitely halted its rapid ascent for now. It's resting, and you're starting to get some profit taking, especially, I think, amongst the hot money traders. If you'd like to get the newsletter, 2 free weeks of the full Monty, which has the all 5 portfolios in it, the changes we made this past week, our outlook for the market, our technical analysis of the market, any new ideas that we're looking into, you can go to GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com to get 2 free weeks. If you'd like to set up an appointment with us to talk to us about your situation, retirement, near retirement, retired, whatever the case may be, not happy with where you're at, struggling trying to do it yourself, manage your own money, give us a call at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.